Welcome to the Women in Business Impact Lab podcast. Maximize your leadership potential and professional advancement and be inspired. We're delighted to be your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development from a women in business perspective. We share our original research, explore industry and workforce trends, and interview female executives, allies, and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things women in business, leadership challenges, talent management, organizational development, change management, and diversity and inclusion.
Kara North, welcome to the conversation today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is great to have you back on the podcast. I'm joined by Angela Schill, who's co-hosting this with me. And today, Kara is joining us on International Women's Day. And we're going to be talking about how to support other women within our professional sphere to be an ally, to be an advocate, and how we can help others have increased opportunities. As we get started, I wanted to share Kara's bio with everybody. Kara North is a native of Orem, Utah, and obtained her BS in business management from UVU in 2007. She then graduated from the S.J. Quinney College of Law at the University of Utah in 2010 with her Juris Doctorate. She began her legal career with a large insurance defense firm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And after returning to Utah, she began practicing law in Utah County with a practice primarily focused on plaintiffs' personal injury litigation, criminal defense, and adoption. Now, I could go on. There's so many really cool things, including being named Utah Business Q Magazine's 40 under 40, lots of really great accolades. But Kara, I'm going to pause there. Anything else you would like to highlight from your own personal, professional background or personal context before we dive on into the broader conversation?
Sure. I'd just like to update that, like, right now I'm a partner at Moxie Law Group, which is a personal injury firm in Pleasant Grove, Utah. And we are actually the first, like, completely female founded personal injury firm where both partners are women, and really looking to help all clients, but particularly women, navigate the space of personal injury. If you look at the billboards up and down I-15, they're very male dominated. And sometimes that can feel intimidating if you're a woman who's been injured and you don't know where to turn. So we're hoping to create a space specifically where women can feel comfortable getting answers to their legal questions about their injuries.
You saying that, I start realizing how I need to be a little bit more aware of what's going on around me. Those billboards are male dominated for sure. Right. And Kara, you've done so much to represent women and support women. I think it's fantastic that on International Women's Day, here we are and with you. And there are a couple of other things you've been the Women's Caucus Chair for Utah Association for Justice, the 4th District Chair for Women's Lawyers of Utah, the President of the Central Utah Bar Association, again, representing women. These are amazing accolades.
Oh, thanks.
And top 25 women trial lawyers. There's so much.
In all of the state of Utah, sure.
In the state of Utah.
Yeah.
All of this is just in a largely male-dominated profession. And my question to you is, do you feel like we have a right to expect other women to champion and support what you're doing? I champion and support what you're doing. But just because you're in a male-dominated space, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm a little bit both ways on this. Like, I don't necessarily know that we have a right to demand it or expect it. But do I think it would be really great if we could do it? We absolutely should. Because specifically talking about my practice field, the amount of women who do personal injury law in the state of Utah, I can tell you there's 54 women doing that. Mm-hmm. And there are over 12,000 attorneys in the state of Utah. So that means there are less than 1% of the Utah State Bar attorneys who are licensed in the state who are doing the type of law that I'm doing, right? And the 54 of us, we get together and we try to champion each other up and support each other and come up with strategies for how we can be better at representing our clients and helping them get the results that they deserve. And having that kind of sisterhood has made a huge difference for all of us in each of our practices. And so I don't necessarily think that just because I'm a woman or just because you're a woman, we have to help each other. But I think when we do, it kind of it creates a multiplying effect. It's, you know, one times one's no longer just one anymore. We get this multiplier that goes out, and we can really create a bigger positive impact when we choose to support other women in this space. And I think that that's an important thing that we should look for opportunities to do to support other women.
That's such great insight. I, you know, listening to you talk, I'm thinking about these opportunities that I've had, partly of being engaged with Women in Business Impact Lab at UVU and pulling in people from the community for some of the events that we do and talking to people like you. I have been amazed to see the amount of support that's come from those interactions from both sides, from men and women. John's been a great ally and champion of these causes as well. It's been huge. It's been a huge shift in how I feel, where I fit and belong. So when you talk about creating that sisterhood, that must be really powerful. And then what I feel is I want other people to be able to step into that space, and maybe they have felt like that's not a possibility to do what you do, or you know, any of their dreams and pursuits.
Well, and I definitely think, you know, kind of we talked about this a little bit in our last episode together was, you know, when you see another woman in that space and you want to be in that space, it makes it easier to feel like you can navigate your way there. You know what I mean? And so I think that's important, particularly I was looking at, and this is kind of crazy with it being International Women's Day, but, you know, Utah Women Leadership Project and Better Way Forward posted some statistics yesterday, and I don't have them right in front of me, but something about, hey, women in Utah, we're still last when it comes to equal pay, you know, pay disparity. We're still last as far as having the number of women-owned businesses and stuff like that. And so, again, I'm not saying that you can only shop and support women. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying if there is a woman in a space and she's kind of the only one there, maybe look for a way to see if her quality and her work is just as comparable and capable as those in the space as well. And then if it is, certainly look for a way to support her and lift her up. Because when we see those statistics, it demonstrates that, like, we're not going to get handed a seat at the table. We're not going to get handed anything. And that's okay. But the only way that this is going to change and bring women into a space of equal footing within the state is if we as women say this is important and it matters and it's worth doing.
And there's a mindset that goes with that, I think. I mean, you've described that mindset, really. But I'm thinking in my own profession to step into something a little bit later on in life. Like, I'm young in my career, but older.
Right.
Others. Yeah. And just to have other people in that space, other women and male allies as well, but have provided opportunities and had the confidence in me that I don't think that I originally had. And to step into that space and to have other women see me not as competition, but as, again, allies, that we're supporting each other, and then having all genders on board in terms of moving us forward in whatever position that we're in.
Right. I was thinking about that today because I actually was working with our social media manager, and I said, hey, I really want to get a post out for International Women's Day, and I would like to recognize the other women that, like, I just went to a conference with this last week that was specifically for women trial lawyers. And I said, I would like us to recognize them and their firms and what they're doing, and showing that they're not necessarily, like, we're not competition, we're colleagues. And whether somebody, there is enough room and business for all of us. And if we can say, hey, maybe I'm not the right attorney for you. Maybe you live in Northern Salt Lake and you don't want to come to Utah County or something like that. That's okay. There's other women in that area that can help you the same way I could and give you that same quality of work. And so I think it's the same kind of thing, like you're saying, having those colleagues that you can say, hey, they're doing this too, and they're doing a great job, and I can be happy for them, is important, and it matters. I was raised with a very musical family and a musical background, and we would always joke in our family that musicians have a hard time being happy for other musicians. and I think there is some truth to that, but I think that women in the workplace should not be one of those areas where we have a hard time being happy for the success of other women. And certainly our male allies are critical to helping that be heard. So that's important.
Can I double click on that for a second? So
yeah,
I love how you just framed that. I'm just curious what your experience has been in that regard. Like, has there been that kind of competition that instead of being supportive of each other, like there has been that competition and it's made it harder? You know, if people see it as a fixed pie and they're like, well, mm-hmm. only so many women are going to even get a seat at the table. I want to make sure that I'm the one. And that means I can't be as supportive of other people. Like,
yeah.
What has that experience been like for you? Maybe it hasn't, maybe that hasn't been your experience at all.
I have had that experience, unfortunately, in the last couple of years. I worked with somebody who specifically made the comment. It was another woman, you know, and I had kind of shared, I was vulnerable and I shared some of the hard experiences that I've had as being a woman in this very heavily male dominated space. And, you know, like when I walk into the room, most people assume I'm the court reporter for a deposition or I'm the paralegal. And not to knock people in those positions, they're very important to our job. But that's frustrating that when I walk into the room, that simply because of my gender, I'm not expected to be the attorney. Right. And so I was sharing some of the examples of situations that I've had like that, where I've had to correct the judge that, no, Your Honor, I'm not my client's mother. I'm their counsel, you know, in court. And, and this girl said to me, this woman said to me, well, I just think we're different because I'm not looking to be offended simply because I'm a woman. And that really hurt. That really stung me because I was like, wow, that's not at all what I'm trying to say my experience is. I'm not trying to say that I'm a victim. I'm not trying to say that I'm, you know, looking for people to artificially boost me up because I'm a woman. But it was really disappointing to see another woman who I was sharing my open and honest experiences with minimize it and act like it didn't matter or wasn't real because she hadn't experienced it.
Completely invalidating, really.
Yeah, right. And so I'm glad for her that she hasn't experienced that because it's not fun. It's not pleasant feeling like you're lesser than simply because of your gender. Mm-hmm. And so I hope she never has that experience, but it's also difficult to think, how can I help her see things a little differently or step in my shoes for a minute? And I don't know that I ever can, you know? And so it's tricky. It's one of those things where it's like, I want to make sure that she doesn't have those experiences, but the only way to do that is for people like me to continue to break barriers and move forward.
I've heard that. I've heard that from other women, that sometimes it's the women around you that are sometimes can be the hardest ones to get past when it comes to those types of attitudes. Like, certainly there's plenty of sexist men around as well, and that can be a hindrance, but it's probably an extra kind of level blow if you have a female who you could see as an advocate or an ally or someone who would be a supportive person who is invalidating, who doesn't even seem to really understand where you're coming from. Or, like you said, grateful that they haven't had that experience. That's wonderful. But mm-hmm. just because one person hasn't had a bad experience doesn't mean there aren't a whole bunch of other people that have experienced the very thing that you're talking about. And so we don't want to minimize it. We don't want to discount it. And it's not just about someone choosing to be offended or anything like that. Like, no, there's like systemic issues at play here that are creating an environment that's hard for, you know, in this case, women or whatever population we might be talking about. Is that something that either or both of you have felt at times? And if so, I'm wondering, like, what strategies there might be as we're trying to create a more supportive environment. Like you said, Kara, you know, we're not trying to artificially lift up anyone. We're just trying to provide equal opportunity. Like, really, if there's systemic barriers, we're trying to reduce them, or we're trying to break down the prejudices, the assumptions, the mental models that might be hindering the opportunity that might not be there as much for women. How can we move that along if sometimes though the detractors are other women themselves?
If I had that answer, wow. I wish. I think the only thing we can do is to continue to create an atmosphere of positivity where we do try to lift up those who want to be lifted and who are willing to go through the fire with you. And, you know, those that choose not to see it may never see it. Those that choose not to see it may go through a difficult or horrible experience before they see it. And that would be unfortunate. But I think even if those women or those individuals do go through a horrible experience, when they come out the other side, we as the women on the other side should be there with open arms to welcome them. And I think it's important that we say, I'm so sorry you went through that. And we believe them even when maybe they didn't believe us. And I think that's the only way it's going to change going forward.
Yeah, that's beautiful, honestly. And I think, because I was thinking, how do you help someone have empathy who hasn't had your experience and for whatever reason can't step into your shoes until maybe they've had that horrific happening, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But to then to offer empathy to them is beautiful. And I think there's that mindset, you know, John was talking about the fixed pie, and we're talking about maybe more of an abundance mindset. And I think just remembering when we see a colleague or someone that there might be that natural temptation to feel jealous or to feel less than, or somehow compare, to then put that spin that thought to an abundance mindset, because that really is where one and one does not equal two. There's this synergistic component and it starts building. And I've seen that in my life, and I've seen it through women who have done what you've talked about, that have been there with open arms when, whether it's a tragedy or just a hardship or something's happened to shift and open the eyes of someone who maybe didn't see what now they're experiencing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I had, when I was in my law school program, I was clerking at a law firm. And they hired a new attorney, and it was a woman, and she was only a couple years out of law school ahead of me. And I immediately had this like feeling of jealousy. Like I was like, crap, she just got the job that I was hoping to get when I got done with school. And I hadn't met her yet. I just knew that she was coming to start working at this firm where I had been clerking. And it was so funny because she starts working there, and immediately I was like, oh my gosh, I love her. Like, she is just the most genuine person, super like hardworking, really, you know, doing everything she can to be the best at what she was doing. And immediately I went, like, my guard came down. I was like, I can't not like her. And then also, I think, at least in our profession, the type of women that go into law have similar characteristics, similar histories, backgrounds. And it was almost like we were the same person, you know, and it was creepy. Like, we both did our undergrad at UVU. We both had the middle name Lynn. We both played sports, like all these weird things. But it was like, as soon as that guard came down, I was happy for her. And I realized that if she did well there, that could bode well for me. And we did end up working there together. There was room for both of us. And she's still someone I consider one of my best friends, one of the top attorneys I know, somebody I would still go to if, you know, I needed help in that particular area of law. And so I think it's just even taking that moment to check ourselves, because sometimes it's easy to get jealous and see somebody else doing something you wish you were. And just taking a moment to check yourself and realize there is room for everyone. A rising tide lifts all boats. And if they are breaking barriers, that means it's easier for you to come through and maybe break a barrier beyond them. And so it's been a progressive process for me to learn to shift and recognize that there is room for everyone at the table.
I just have this vision. I love that rising tide lifts all boats. And I also see like this imagery of blazing trails and bushwhacking and just, and also the polishing that comes with, as you say, it's kind of a work in progress. And maybe we've already covered this, but what are some of the things that we all could be doing more of to support one another? I know we've talked about the mind shift and kind of seeing things from a different frame, a supportive frame, but are there any specifics that you would recommend that we can support one another?
Well, I would say that particularly with like most women-owned businesses are small businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, the biggest thing that you can do is share their social, you know, sing their praises on your own social, those kinds of things. And so that's why when I talked to my social media guy today, I was like, hey, let's do a post about recognizing those other women. Yes, some of them are in our same space of business. Some of them aren't. But you know what? There's got to be more, like, the more business they're getting, the more business we're going to get, and it's all going to help. It's that, you know, same mindset. So I think the biggest thing right now would be sharing their socials, singing their praises, and then looking to refer people to them or patronize their business yourself. And those are things that I think we can all do. And it's not necessarily that hard. If we're going to go shop at a local store for something anyway, look for one in your space, look for one that you know so and so owns or their friend owns, or you know, and it's not hard to take 2 minutes out of your day to go support them in that space and recognize that they what they're doing is valid and unique and deserves to be acknowledged.
My brain is spinning with all of the people. It just got me going on all the things that I want to jump in and do.
Right.
In that arena. I think there's a lot we can do if we're just more mindful.
Yes.
Great suggestion.
And I think, you know, just being able to be supportive in the way that others want to be supported. Like I'm thinking of my wife as an example. Mm-hmm. We have 6 children. She has a doctorate, but she was kind of non-traditional. Like she did her first degree kind of in the normal, quote unquote, normal time frame by her early 20s. Then we're married. We started having children a little bit later. She goes back and gets her master's degree a little bit later. Then she goes back and gets her doctorate. And she's felt it both ways. Like when she was early in her career, she was going to be a teacher and she chose to then stay at home. She teaches math, and the amount of kind of pressure that she got from people to go into her career when she wanted to be an at-home mom was a lot, and it was very, very frustrating to her, and so she didn't feel validated. And then later on, when she wanted to make a transition and go back into the workforce, and now she's a professor, you know, she felt the opposite, you know, like people kind of judging,
why aren't you at home with the kids?
Why aren't you at home with the kids? And so she felt it from both sides. And, you know, the whole time I'm just thinking, well, as a husband, I want to be as supportive as I can for whatever decision she's making. We don't need to be judging other people for the decisions that they're making. And if someone chooses to be home, that's wonderful. If someone's choosing to not be home and pursue a career, that's wonderful. And each individual's circumstances are so different, their life stage, their career stage. There's a whole slew of things going on behind the scenes that none of us know about that are feeding into why they're making the decision that they're making. And so like, if we can just learn to be supportive of someone where they're at and what they're choosing now, and then realizing maybe that'll change, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, and they'll be doing something else. And then we can be supportive of them in that.
Yeah. I love that. Yes. When I graduated from law school, the first thing people said is like, oh, okay, so when are you having kids? You know, and it was kind of like this pressure to like have a family, you know, right away. And my husband and I were married for 10 years before we had our son. And part of that was because I wanted to get better at my job before I navigated whatever that next step looked like. Right. And there were some people that were really supportive and some people that thought, what are you doing? Why aren't you having children already? And questions that were crossing boundaries with respect to personal information, you know. And then on the other side of it, you know, there's been times where it's like, oh, well, you work, and so we can't have you come to the PTA meeting, or we can't have you, you know, help out in that way because it's during working hours. And so you kind of feel like, okay, darned if I do, darned if I don't, one way or the other. But one of the ways that I've seen really great support is just even some new friends that I've made this year with my son's school. And there's one mom in particular that's like, hey, if you need to stay late at work today, we'd love to have your son over and have him come play and all that kind of stuff. And she never makes me feel guilty about it. If I'm later picking him up than I mean to or whatever, she's just very like, hey, I'm here for you and whatever that looks like. And it's taught me a good lesson too, to A, not only look for opportunities to be more inclusive, you know, when I have the time and ability, but also just really being appreciative of people that are willing to support you where you're at and what that looks like, and no judgment whatsoever. And it's something I'm still working on, still checking myself, still making sure I'm doing for other, not just women, but also men. But I think just recognizing that I really like that in this day and age, we are coming into a place where it's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to have things that work for you that don't work for other people. And I love that in general, we're becoming a more accepting society as far as it's okay if that's what works for you and that's not what works for me, I'm still happy for you. And very much with your wife, you know, like I think she's killing it at what she's doing. And I love the example that she's setting as far as it's okay to do it in a non-traditional route and you can still get to your goals. And I hope that, you know, it's amazing she has an ally like you that's like, hey, I'm happy to come in and reinforce support with the kids when you're at work and vice versa. And that's how it should be.
Kara, when we talk about this support that we find in the places we find it, what do you think about being in a space where do we give credit to other women's ideas?
I recently had an experience with that. I was asked to present at a lawyer's conference this week, and I was nervous. I wasn't sure what to say, and even up till last weekend, I was still kind of spinning my wheels. What am I going to say on this particular topic? I was assigned a topic about a specific rule in the law that we as attorneys can and should use, and to benefit our clients. And I was stuck. I just was not sure. And luckily, I was at this women's conference this last weekend, and I said, "Hey, ladies, can you help me? Like, how would you use this rule in your cases, and how's it been used against you, and what do you do with all of it?" And we roundtabled it for like an hour over dinner, and they all gave me great ideas. And it, by the end of the thing, I had my presentation pretty much put together. And I said, "Great, this is so amazing. I'm going to make sure to, acknowledge you and you and you." And one of them said, "Absolutely not. I don't want my name mentioned once during your presentation." And I went, "What? Why? Of course I should give you credit. Like, you guys really helped me come through on this." And she said, No. What I've learned is that when you do that, you're minimizing like your contribution to all of this, as well as signaling to people in the room that they don't necessarily have to listen to you because this wasn't all your idea." And she said, "And I don't know a single man that would do that." And I'm not sure that that's true, right? There are men that give credit where credit is due, but it just was really interesting to me and eye-opening to me, because my default is always try to be gracious, try to show recognition and appreciation for other people that have helped me along the way. But then it was so eye-opening to have that comment say, "No, you don't need to. We know you appreciate it. We know, who we are and how we've helped you, and you don't need to tell everybody else. We're good." And I just thought that was really interesting. And perhaps that varies from group to group. Perhaps you do have a group of friends that really wants you to acknowledge them in some certain way if they've helped you, and that's great. But if there's not, if they're saying no, just run with it, and you take credit for it, and you do you. I think that's an incredible way to proceed as well. That really helped me feel a lot of confidence going into my presentation this week, and feeling like I could take ownership of what I was presenting, and I didn't have to discount my contribution to it.
That speaks to me because, in a position where we're doing research, we're working with other colleagues, and we're trying to, determine sometimes even in authorship who, how do you determine authorship and how do you decide who goes first, second, and third? And I have been so, I've just been really, I've learned, it's been like a masterclass to see others who have. Other women who have gone before me who show me this is how we do this and this is how we support each other. And it's not so much about order and rank as much as that rising tide and that we're together. And so, you are the reason that that discussion took place in the first place with the round table.
Incredible. It was a really eye-opening experience, because it was one that I hadn't ever considered before. And I don't know if I would have gotten up there and said, "Oh, thank you to so and so and so and so, and they really helped me and all this stuff," maybe it wouldn't have mattered at the end of the day. But afterwards, when it's done and people are saying, "Hey, great job, good presentation, I appreciated the points that you brought up," I think it indirectly acknowledges all the work of all the women that helped me get there too. And so I, send them private notes and thank yous and emails and, "Hey, I appreciate how that went. It went well. Your contribution was invaluable, And it was a good experience, but it was one that I had never considered before, that maybe there's times to give credit, but we don't always have to, particularly if it's going to come at the expense of discounting our message in a way that makes it sound like we didn't take responsibility or ownership over it.
Well, very good, Kara, Angela. I note the time. I think we could continue on for forever, but I do note the time. I think we need to let you go, Kara, here in just a minute, so we can go ahead and start to wrap up. As we wrap up, Kara, if you could just share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your practice, more about the work that you're doing, and then wrap this all up in a nice with a nice bow for us. Like, what would be your final takeaway on International Women's Day? The core message that you would want to leave with the audience around how we can be best supportive of women around us as they're pursuing whatever their goals may be.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you can find me at Moxie Law Group in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Our website's www.moxie, MOXIE, lawgroup.com. And I'm on LinkedIn under Kara North. And my email is also listed there. I'm also regularly on campus at UVU. I'm involved at the Board of Trustees, the Alumni Board, and Foundation Board. So number one, I'd always encourage everybody to get back involved with UVU, and we could run into each other that way for sure. But then number two, seek me out on social media. I also have billboards on I-15 now. So if you see me on I-15, be sure to give it a smile as you drive by, but be safe. Finally, I would just say that with respect to International Women's Day, lifting up other women and making sure that they are seen and acknowledged and validated is the work of women. Even though we have great allies, you know, John, I think you're one of the best, but even though we have great male allies in our community, ultimately the way that we are going to push Utah and women forward into equal pay, equal recognition with respect to women-owned businesses, those kinds of things, is when other women come to the table and say, hey, look at what she's doing. It's awesome. It's great. I'm super happy for her. I'm proud of her. And, you know, maybe this is like the Taylor Swift effect, like the way that her fans kind of groundswell and make something incredible happen. I think we as women could just do that in general. And I would just encourage any of the listeners to go ahead and look for ways to shop women, support women, social shout out to other women. And as we do that, there will be a magnifying effect that makes a difference in our community.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Angela. It's just been a pleasure to be part of this conversation today. I encourage the audience to reach out to Kara, get connected, find out more about what she can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And we hope you all have a great week. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Women in Business Impact Lab podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.